跟瓦克上帝，这个叫做小恩的基督。所以雅各的这三个基督，给咱一个真水的一百度。等于犯罪做唔到，底下咧走路，底下人拢唔定的时，底下上帝要爱，上帝底下该显现，爱该上帝下愿，讲上帝，你若真正帮忙我解决这困难的时，我一世人要侍奉你，这是下愿的基督。总是伊的本性也无改，所以需要经过这个小恩的基督，上帝要改伊的性，改伊的性。伊用的所在，正做伊的软弱，伊才有法度完全来挖靠上帝。虽然是安尼，到尾也要做一个基督，叫做主给的基督。而且伊的心无清，伊心内要拜作一个物件，伊也毋是干那侍奉上帝那点。所以伊搁倒来逼着你的时，伊个遐物件带落去酒吧卡，讲对当开始，我干那侍奉耶和华。唔忙，咱下日记袂，咱爱基督的生活，咱对咱的神座留落来，即个水的卡只，咱有学习。咱知影上帝爱咱介三亲，不管你做唔对，你做对，上帝来是要甲你祝福。爱你面对你的唔对，所以上帝要阁施恩典予你。唔然安尼，咱较无成熟的时，咱要甲上帝讲，你互我一寡印证，我当你爱时，上帝嘛会予你。上帝爱咱伫伊的面前，爱有当爱时间点点安静，亲像以撒安尼有默想的生活。爱咱伫家庭当作一个大道的勇士，替咱主内的人祈祷。爱咱伫基督的中间，互上帝对付咱的个性。咱内底呐，要有一挂歹的个性，伫基督小恩的基督的时，互上帝来摸着。唔然安尼，咱愈基督，咱对上帝即个专一奉献的心愈来愈悬，成做一个专一侍奉上帝的人。咱阿头来基督。特别我感谢你，因为你所创造的万米的中间，敢若互阮人有即个基督的冠冕。因为阮会晓甲你三亲，会晓甲你讲话，会晓听你讲话。总是时阵，阮真可惜，阮放弃阮即个特权，阮变做一个未晓祈祷的人。亲爱的主，阮看伫圣经为阿通开始，不管因做毋对，因安那歹，上帝你就是爱甲因亲近，爱甲因讲话，即个阮真大的鼓励。我毋好亲像阿通安尼，因为家己做毋对，阮就闪你的面，走去唱。啊，你留阿伯拉罕，留伊洛。老拿阿伊撒拿国，再做做先做因的基督的生活，正做阮的勉励。阮也亲像阿伯拉罕呢，阮的欢喜伫众人的面前活出一个基督的生活，欢喜将阮相爱奉献伫你的面前。我也正做替人基督的人，特别遐阮看做唔好的人，阮欢喜替因基督。反对伊撒学习伫你的面前有安静的时间，安静来甲你相甲亲近。我们真做家庭的基督的人，将我们家庭我们所疼的人，因的艰苦，因所遇到的困难，我们在基督带到你的面前，然后我们欢喜在基督的中间，让你来对付我们的个性，你来跟我们相应，改变我们的本性，然后我们真做一个圣洁的人，专心跟对你的脚步，让我们每一个人可以来到我们的逼定里，在那里看见我们的上帝，底下属奉我的上帝，我伫你的面前安尼祈祷恳求，奉靠耶稣基督的名，阿门。咱要来吟诵的诗歌140首，天父，我爱就你，咱站起来吟140首。140首。天父，我爱就你，看我你，虽然有别心意。心有生命，心
小时时光我真爱吼，这是彼得利的经验，这条是我甲雅各伫彼得利的座谕做真好的描写，讲所过凄惨烦恼，正彼得利苦境变作圣路。伫遮虽然暗暝大我跨头用照，总是迷茫中犹原甲天父讲，天父我爱救近你。我相信伫咱人生的座谕的中间，可能咱可能感觉咱做唔对，咱惊上帝，真像阿东安尼，无定真像雅各，伫遐拄着艰难，走投无路，也是该阮感觉伊的刑罚相当，也真像阿伯拉罕，上帝爱将上听的献伫上帝面前。无管咱做故是安怎，咱拢会当用祈祷到上帝面前，甲上帝讲。我会当跟你三脚清滚，我应该讲祈祷重要，不是讲话，是跟上帝三脚清滚。天父，我爱就近你，我爱就近你。咱阿头来祈祷，第四十个金一拜来，困起我已记念，阿罗音时所归凄惨欢乐家时阵真正是苦境的时，咱才个上帝亲近；咱伫顺境的时，咱感觉过啊足快乐。咱不感觉咱需要上帝，总是五忙逼得你，唔是干那苦境变作一个顺境那点，逼得你也是咱将一切的偶像带底下，专心来敲碎咱的主的一个所在。特别上帝，我感谢你今仔日，你对我的先祖留落来，因的祈祷的经历。成做阮的鼓励，阮做唔对，你话阮无亲像阿东安尼惊吓来闪避你的面。阮会敢亲像改阮，虽然阮知影阮唔对，阮爱承受阮所做的唔对带来的责罚，总是阮感觉上帝讲上帝，迄、那个刑罚伤重，互我稳定，也帮助阮对以撒学习，对阿伯拉罕学习，成做一个带道的人。替阮的厝里的人来祈祷，也阮亲像雅各安尼，伫祈祷的中间，互上帝悟到，互上帝改变，互阮伫凄惨的中间，甲你相佮亲近，互阮伫领受稳定的时，阮会晓佮倒来伫你的面前感谢你，献祭伫你的面前，佮一个将阮家己来拜伫你的面前，听阮的祈祷，奉靠耶稣基督的名，阿门，请坐。
多谢牧师今仔日在，我咱真好个勉励，也嘛咱会当军队先做脚步，正做大道勇士，来用祈祷来过咱圣洁的生活。 这是咱要来奉献，啊，师贤的姊妹头前。
感谢你锻炼我伫这个芝加哥的所在徛起，我看见这四季分明，你创造的大自然，我实在是伫心底大大的学着你，你实在是创造的主，我实在是伫心底明白主你的大光明，对这个大自然，我来看出，主我也感谢你，予我伫这个所在当用我的母语。同齐来敬拜你，通过牧师今日的信息，予阮搁一届搁较清楚，阮爱祈祷，阮爱亲近主，阮爱含主你有好的关系，就是爱阮爱时常祈祷，主你帮助阮，予阮爱当对圣经中只个先祖来学习，阮着安怎含主你有好的关系。啊！求主你帮助阮，予阮会当真多一个大道的人，真多阮四周围人的祝福。主你帮助阮，主阮啊，感谢你赏赐阮丰丰富富一切，把阮即马奉献，即个金钱要真多教会的路用。求主你感恩，阮安尼感谢，祈祷袂堪止，拢是奉托主耶稣的名来求。阿门。
这是咱来吟《上言》335首，吟一刷，咱请牧师读到。祝福，但愿咱的主耶稣基督的恩典，天父上帝的疼痛，圣神相通甲感动，时常甲恁众人同在，对这条起，一直到主过来的时，阿门。
阿门。阿。
袂将车坐灭倒。
到这已经结束，这时咱来先按个报告哈。首先，咱来欢迎今仔日头一摆来到咱教会的兄弟。头一，咱要介绍徐金和姊妹，啊，黄红英兄。甲黄坤树兄，因做一届来，是咪麻烦，咱们通介绍一下好不好？欢迎您来，欢迎您来，兄弟，也愿上帝继续祝福家庭兄伊的病情会当早一日恢复。搁续咱要来欢迎牧师因的家庭的三位宝贝，我欢迎您过来，来遮，欢迎。也欢迎久久无见面，回台湾搁倒转来。春莲姐，俊涛兄，小辉姐，出国哈，奎力兄，搁倒转来哈，李雄姐哈，欢迎恁搁倒转来，我中间。下面有几项代志要向各位报告。今仔日食饭了，要开这个月的技术同工会，请同志准备心来参加。第二，咱特别欢喜，咱牧师第五个节时已经毕业啦，啊，求主继续锻炼伊头前的路，祝伊的身体健康为主。来钓我！后礼拜，咱教会要举办庆祝母亲节活动，咱即马请，等一下请郑同兄来给咱报告哈。 伫五月十八，咱伫芝城台湾福音教会举办的联合的乒乓比赛，有兴趣，但是还未报名的吼，会兄弟，请你打地震兄报名。像是今仔日阴暗七点半吼，你搁伫王文兄的家庭来练习。迄、那个第五项，爱加贝团结吼，因伫本地是伫五月十八，他妈即马改五月二五吼，五月二五拜六，要伫佩芬姐因的厝来用帕拉方式来举办的联合的联谊吼，更要邀请全教会的所有兄弟姊妹来参加，伊的时间是。六点开始哈，伫五月二五，五月二五，伫撇分这个家庭，六点开始。啊，今仔日中昼食饱了后，七点半四班有要练习，请四班注意哈。啊，这是咱请郑崇兄来当报告咱后礼拜母亲节的活动。
各位兄弟平安，大家好哈。一年一度的母亲节要搞，咱后礼拜要敬啊，依照往例举办这个烤肉活动哈，啊过去办吼，拢真闹热吼。啊，希望大家呢吼，请大家告诉大家吼，你的一个亲戚朋友请来做位来参加。啊，咱后礼拜是联合礼拜了的时候，就开始烤肉。啊，这边的烤肉应该物件准备了会比旧年较充分吼，会较好势吼。啊，佮上重要一点就是咱了呢有，那看时间的进行吼，那当然是要办一挂亲子活动吼，如何母亲跟孩子或者爸爸跟孩子之间的活动吼，这个活动我想会当促进你母子之间哎亲子之间的关系吼，所以是一个真好的活动吼。最好恁会当归内面，甲你亲戚朋友做伙招来吼。啊，另外一点就是这活动呢需要大家帮忙吼，所以你若有钱啊、有肉出肉啦吼，唔是甲你出一条肉啦吼。你讲你当作准备一挂肉，准备一挂菜吼，因这物件要大家做伙来准备吼。啊，当要准备吼，请你看我甲阮太太一直联系吼。安尼 OK， 这第一点。第二点呢就是讲母亲节呢，咱过去花呢吼，拢迄个是。较早办买，啊，即几年拢小金姐帮忙吼，啊，小因为咱到啊小金姐帮忙，咱买花当省真侪钱吼，所以小金姐今年吼，人家要阁帮忙吼，但是爱做两百几类，真侪吼，所以伊希望讲有兄弟会当帮忙吼，会去拜五吼要做吼，是毋是有兴趣的？你会当学一学吼，啊，会当以后呢吼，那讲买滴去用礼物吼，买当做回来买吼，无啦，这开玩笑啦吼，就说下一次呢，你可以做一朵更美丽的康乃馨送给你妈妈。这是上重要一点，我会晓吼。OK， 第二点，啊，第三点呢，咱好像听牧师讲过吼，伊昨摕着 PhD， 啊，搁在昨结婚吼，伊是当初是安怎约因太太吼，所以咱等下呢，主日二的时间呢，要举行，甲牧师庆祝伊摕着博士，过二五周年的纪念，我希望兄弟拢会留的吼，这个纪念会让你怀念一辈子吼。OK， 所以请大家拢会当留咧，参加因的庆祝典礼，多谢，谢谢。
今礼拜到这，哎，来你啊，好来是。
我先报告一下，是五月二十五号爱加贝团契，它是我们今年第一次的一边呢，对，欢迎大家来参加，但是不是说邀请大家来啊，就是讲你有兴趣大家来，我这边是送机票落去啦，所以。我呢，就是五月二十五号会有一个专题演讲，然后地点是在碧芬姐家，晚上六点。那详细的下个礼拜会再报告。就是欢迎大家有兴趣来参加我们团契的，可以来参加。嘿，谢谢。
今天礼拜到这，啊，听好兄请安，然后落来楼卡，准备咱今仔日的活动，多谢。
God's law. We see how high the standard is. We see God's call upon our lives, all those commandments, and we feel the weight of it, and we know we're down here and the law is up there, and so we begin to claw and fight and struggle more, and struggle more. And all the while, we're not any closer to obeying and fulfilling that law. I don't swim too well, as many of us Asians, we don't swim too well, but that's okay. Some of us know how to swim. Some of us are actually lifeguards. Are there any lifeguards here? Anyone who's been a lifeguard? No one? One. One. And she's not Asian. See? I think there's a couple more lifeguards, no? Well, for me, like, you know, Wheaton, you have, I don't know if you still have to do this, but you have to pass a swimming test to graduate. I had a Korean friend who actually had to come back after his 4 years to pass that test because he couldn't graduate because he didn't pass that one swimming test. Yeah, it's pretty sad. You would think that, you know, as Koreans, a lot of us came over on a boat and stuff, you'd think we'd be able to swim well, but... So we were doing the swim test, and I remember my prof's a cool guy, but I can swim a little bit. I have very little endurance in the water. I get very nervous. And so I begin to swim, and I looked over. You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but this is the hardest thing, to breathe and to actually get air. You know what I'm talking about? Right? And the whole while, you're just actually losing air. It's just like coming out, but nothing's coming in. And so I looked up, and he was looking away, talking to another student, so I just began to, you know, tread water a little bit, rested a little. Then I went a little bit more, looked in, he wasn't looking, and that's how I passed the Wheaton College. I should not be a graduate of Wheaton. Amen. Amen. I'll talk to you later, Steve. So I'm not a good lifeguard, but what I hear from a lifeguard is this. I hear, and I may be wrong, okay? So don't correct me if I am wrong. Just correct me later after the sermon. But is that when people are drowning, they go crazy, right? They're struggling. And so what do? They start, you know, flailing their arms everywhere. They start kicking like crazy. And what this guy said was that as a lifeguard, one of the things that you need to tell the person as they're, you know, struggling is stop struggling. Just trust me, stop struggling. Because if they're flailing their arms and you're trying to save them, what could happen? They might bop you over the head. They might kick you. They might hurt you, right? But it's hard to grab them. And so what happens is you have to wait for them to cease struggling. And then you grab them and then you bring them to shore and you do all the work. You just have them trust you. And I think a lot of us spiritually, we're like that. A lot of us are like the people drowning. We're just going crazy trying to please God. We're flailing our arms. We're kicking our feet. We're making a big mess. And we're not getting anything done. And a lot of us need to get away and just to rest and to cease striving and to cease struggling and to let the Lord save you day in and day out. Jesus doesn't want to save you one day and the rest of the time let you drown. No, Jesus wants to save you every single second, every millisecond of your life. But the struggle is so real, isn't it? And I was thinking about as I was preparing this message, do I really need to tell you about struggles? I mean, is there anyone in here who says, you know, I can't identify with struggling. I mean, my life just never had a trial. Always victory. Always win. Every single time. No. All of us know struggles really well. I remember back in the day, about 5 years ago, there was a commercial, one of my favorite Michael Jordan commercials. And the whole commercial was about his failures. You guys remember this commercial? You know, lost, you know, 3,000 games, you know, missed 400,000 shots, and, you know, missed 85 last second shots. And because I failed this many times, you know, I was able to be a champion. And it was an incredible commercial. An incredible commercial. And all of us, actually, could probably make a commercial that was probably worse. A lot longer, not 30 seconds. But like 30 minutes, like 30 days, some of us like 30 years of failure after failure after failure, of struggle after struggle after struggle. Some of us struggle with the inability to follow through on promises and on vows. We say we're going to do this, we're going to change this, we're going to be better, and we can't follow through. Some of us struggle with acceptance, being accepted before God as we are, accepted before others. Some of us struggle with fleshly sins. A lot of us struggle with doubt. I mean, every one of us has struggled with doubt at some point. I mean, there have been so many times in my life when you just feel the weight of loneliness or your sin is so deep that you just doubt, can God really forgive this sin? I know Christ died for all sins, but did He die for this one? Can He cleanse me of this one? Don't I have to earn myself back into the kingdom? Don't I have to reform myself and then God will accept me? Or can God accept me in the very midst, in the very action of that sin? Is God able to love me when I'm lonely, when I feel like not a person in this world loves me? Does God really love me? I know the Word of God says that He has loved me with an everlasting love, but does He love me now? Does He love me? Can He? And we doubt and we struggle. and we fight, and what usually happens is our self wins out. It says, no, God doesn't love you. And you let Satan's temptations bring you down, and you get driven to depression. You get driven to thoughts of even sometimes suicide. Because we doubt and we struggle. We want to believe. We try hard to believe. But we can't. I don't know if any of you guys have ever struggled with drugs. Maybe most of you guys haven't. But one of my good buddies, I remember as I was talking to him one night. And it was about 3 in the morning and he had been high, I think, that night. And he was getting sobered up. And I remember him telling me, Dave, I want to quit. And in his eyes, you could just see this look of hopelessness. A look that said, I've tried though. I've tried so many times, Dave, you have no idea. But I just can't quit. I can't be released from this bondage. Some of us have deep anger. All of us have been hurt. And all of us will do something with that anger. Some of us will hide it deep within us. Some of us will let it show externally. But all of us will affect people with our rage, with our anger, with our hurt. And yet, can you ever get free from it on your own? Have you ever tried to get rid of anger? Have you ever tried to forget about it? To try to be happy? To be forgiving? No. It's impossible. The anger grips you. The anger enslaves you. And lastly, just one of many, is a sin of control. We love to be in control. I was reading an article. This is what it says. It was talking about control and the way we control ourselves. It says, we all have our means of exerting control, of winging it, of trying to live independently from God. We have countless devices to make sure we manage our personal agenda and our environment on our own. And this is just a few ways. Some people use anger as a means of control. Others control with threats. If you don't plan this project my way, or come to my party, or wear certain clothes, I'll make you pay. Often we attempt to control others through manipulation. We love our children. We want them to come to Christ. So we try to manipulate them into some kind of decision. We need to be on our knees for our children and plead with God to work in their lives. Perfectionism is another typical form of control. The attempt to have everything in order, under our purview, done our way, can be a very socially acceptable device to try to impress God and others. But God may have some surprises for us, as He had for Habakkuk. One of the most ludicrous attempts to control is worry. It's the dumbest thing in the world. The psychology of worry goes like this. If I worry enough, everything will be okay. I've worked with alcoholics, and I'm absolutely convinced that many people take that route to control. They anesthetize their brain so that everything is the same. They may be killing themselves, but they at least think they're in control. In fact, one quote later on says, okay, this is an alcoholic saying to his friend, okay, so I'll have a hangover in the morning. At least it will be my hangover. God, however, brings Habakkuk to the realization that God's plans are better than his, to relinquish everything to God. We need to be in that position as much as he did. It is the place to which we need to return over and over. Amen? And so we struggle. And all the while as we struggle, Jesus, the spiritual lifeguard, is right there. He's like so close to you. And you're flailing your arms, you're beating the water, and you're getting tired and more tired. Don't you get tired trying to be a good Christian? It's so tiring when you're trying to do it. It's so tiring trying to be religious. Always having to put up the external show so that others might think that you're godly. It's tiring to be religious. I mean, any religion, whether Christianity or any other religion, so many things you got to do to try to please God. Doesn't matter what religion you are. It's the most tiring thing. All religion is tiring to man. It's so, so exhausting. And Jesus, the spiritual lifeguard, is whispering as you're flailing your arms. He's saying, come to me. Rest, all you who are weary and heavy laden. All you who are weary from trying to be religious. All you who are heavy burdened by trying to please me. And I will give you rest. I will save you. I will redeem you. I will give you power from above. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God. Religion is heavy. Religion is so heavy, isn't it? All of us have tried religion. All of us do religion. It is so tiresome. It doesn't lift you up. It doesn't encourage you. All it does is give you a weight upon your back. It says, be holier. Try harder. You can do it. Come on. And Jesus Christ says, that's religion. Christianity, the gospel says, oh, it's so light. I'll carry you on my back. and I'll bring you to safety. Because it's all about Jesus. And so this passage talks about this struggle. And it talks about it from Paul's perspective. Now, just real quick, because this is one of the most controversial passages in terms of what is Paul? Who is Paul here? And the main differences are, some people say Paul here is this is before he was a Christian. This is Paul before he was a Christian, because surely any Christian would have victory, would at least know that they can have victory. And others say, well, no, this is after he became a Christian, because every Christian struggles. And both arguments are very good. But one of the common themes throughout every argument, if you look at Romans chapter 7 in contrast to Romans chapter 8, is the difference between the law and the Spirit. And so I believe that Romans 7 is a guy, whether he's Christian or non-Christian, we can talk about that one-on-one if you want to talk about that, but whether he's Christian or non-Christian, this is a guy who is trying to live according to the law. This is a guy who's trying to live according to the law. In other words, this is somebody who looks at what God desires of us and is trying really hard to obey it. Whether you're Christian or not, this is the effect. This is the struggle that goes on. I don't know about you, but if you've ever thought about the law, you know the law doesn't help you at all. In fact, people say the law is, if anything, it's a slave driver. In fact, the higher the law, the harder the slavery, isn't it? If the law says you need to be perfect as God is perfect, that's a hard slave driver, isn't it? I mean, when you're driving on the highway and the speed limit says 55, does that law help you drive 55? Is there something within that speed limit sign, within that law, that controls your car and forces you to drive according to the speed limit? No. What does the law do, if anything? It provokes you, doesn't it? Oh, it provokes me. It speaks to me. It says, go ahead. Try to go higher. So I think 55 is the speed limit. I can go 65. 65 is what most people go. I can cut 75. You know what? Most people go 75 or below, but I'm different. I'm above this law. And I will go 85. And some of you say, well, Troy's going 85. I will go 95. But what happens usually? And there's one person in our congregation who always gets away with this, but I won't say who she is. But when you're driving, what happens? A cop comes up, and the cop does what? He gives you what? A ticket. And you can't say to him, well, but officer, the law didn't help me. I mean, I wanted to obey the 55, but something within me grew out of me. This evil driver, and he wanted me to go 90. He wanted me to go 100. He wanted me to go to 110. How many guys have gone above 100? Admit it. Amen. There's a few of us. We'll pray afterwards. I mean, I remember going from Boston to Chicago, and it's so flat. You just got to excite yourself somehow. So I went 105. And then I saw a cop on the other side. Oh! But the law doesn't help you. If anything, the law actually provokes you. Because you know what? If the speed limit was 85, you know what you'd be going? 105. If the speed limit was 105, most of us would be going 125. Whatever the law is, we want to break it. We want to be above it. And the law doesn't help at all. If anything, it makes it worse. I don't know if you guys ever watched the Olympics, but there's this thing called the pole vault. And I don't know what you call the bar up there. I think this is the pole vault. But that thing, whatever that thing is, it's the standard. And if it's an 18-foot standard, and you need to pole vault over that, that pole doesn't help you at all. It just tells you how far you got to go. That's it. That's the only function of that bar, to tell you how far you go, and then to mock you when you don't make it. Every time a guy goes up and he pole vaults and his butt just skims that pole and the pole falls off, the pole doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll help you next time. The pole vault laughs. It mocks that man. It says, you cannot jump at all. Get out of the Olympics. What are you doing here? That's what it says to everyone who tries to beat it when they fail. But you see, the law, God's law, is not 18 feet. God's law is like 500,000 feet. God's law is like 5 trillion feet high. And I don't know about you, but the record is a little over 20 feet, I believe. That's a lot to go to make it to God's law. You cannot make it. And so the law doesn't help you at all. And if you live by the law, this is what it's going to be like. I mean, you want to do good, but you can't. Because the law was never meant to help you. All the law does is reveal how far you fall short. And so one way that we respond to this is by trying harder. I don't know why. We just try harder. That's the human nature. We just pride. We want to do it our way. And so what happens is if we can't be humble, we just put up an act. We act humble. You know these people. They act so humble. But if you're their brother or sister, you know they're cocky. And so what do? They act humble, but their motivation is so that you would exalt them. And that's kind of messed up. And that's not obeying God's law. And then there's all those people who, oh, he's so nice. Oh, he's so sweet. She is such a kind person. And God says in the Word of God, be nice, therefore, as God our Father is nice. No. The Bible says love. Love. And so instead of loving people, we're nice to them. Why? Because we want them to like us back. And all the while we're being self-centered. We tell people what they want to hear. Asians are so good at this. We don't have to go to school for this. We got a PhD when we were born. It's all about being nice in their face. When they turn around, all is fair game. But when they're in your face, you are so nice. You say the right things. Always speaking what they want to hear. And yet the Word of God says, speak the truth in love. And we fail in every single way. And then, when we were growing up too, no one ever told us, you're good enough. In fact, every single time you make a mistake, what do your parents tell you? Do they say, it's okay? Do they say, hey, we still love you? Maybe after they beat you, but usually they say, what? Why are you so stupid? You got a B+. Why are you so dumb? When I was in school, I studied 22 hours. And I had to walk 1 hour each way to school. That made my whole day. You know? And they tell you how far you fall short of the standard. So everything in life, everything in this world, everything that is constructed, all the laws, all the standards are higher than where you are. And they're always telling you, you're...